Well, we're going to spend just a little while continuing in this series that we started last week. And last week we began this series on stewarding. And as I talked about stewarding last week, we talked about the stewarding of our time. And I just want to share with you just a reflection for me that perhaps is, I don't know if it's helpful to you or not, but there were enough people who spoke to me before and after about me starting with time that I wanted just to comment on it. When this series was conceived to be preached here, it was actually because what the leadership really wanted me to do was to talk to you about money. And because we want to kind of get a really gospel-centered, good news approach to our money, that we steward it well. Not we want you to give more, I mean, if God stirs that up, that's fantastic, but just that it's one of those subjects that we don't have some kind of kingdom thinking about. So I was kind of scared that money was going to be the big challenging, nasty one. And so I put it in the middle. It's next week, money. Now you go. There's your warning. If you're not here next week, I'll know why. Money. But I started with time, and a number of people said, oh, you're starting with the big one. You're starting with the tough one. You're starting with the challenging one. And I wanted just to hear that. I honestly thought it would be money that would be tricky to preach on. But if you weren't here last week, then I want you to listen to the teaching on time. It's not too long, but if you were here last week, I just wanted to encourage you to just be constantly reflecting through this series what it is that God's saying to you and how it is that God's challenging you. If it had been one or two people, I probably wouldn't have said anything, but there have been three or four people who've spoken about this time thing being a big issue, so please do listen to that. And as we move on to the next thing, it's not that we've done that and we let that any sense of challenge from that just go, but that we hold on to the challenge of that. If there was a challenge, it might have been an encouragement, and we just carry on walking. Does that make some kind of sense? Today, we're going to be thinking about this. And well, let's move the picture on so that you get a clear picture of what that is that's behind there. What does it kind of look like? Oh, great, you got it. I just thought, is this going to be too obscure? It's like a superhero, but who is the superhero? We don't know who the superhero is. Now, it's kind of like it's a blank superhero. This is about finding our superpower. Did you know that was something you need to steward your superpower? Well, we're going to be thinking, just go back one if that's okay for now. We're going to be thinking about stewarding that sense of gifting and calling that God has given us. The gifting and calling that God has given us. I want to start with 2 Timothy. So do you want to turn your Bible on or turn it, open it up to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to start reading from verse 5. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, I'm reading from verse 5. Paul then is writing to Timothy, who is his young disciple. A young man who Timothy is nurturing and mentoring and encouraging to grow into everything that the Lord has for him. And Paul writes these words, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That's why I'm suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he's able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day." Great words of Paul to his young follower. And he says there's this gifting. There's this gifting. The call of God. The call of God is on your whole family. But it's on you. And I know it's on you, says Paul, because I laid hands on you and I prayed for you and God imparted something in you. And what Paul says to his young disciple is, you've had that experience. You've lived as part of a family of called people, but it's up to you to make sure that you fan into flame that gifting that's there. Can you see what Paul is saying? Paul says it's not enough just to have a gifting. Paul says it's not enough just to have had hands laid on you and for God to give something to you. It is entirely possible that you could have had somebody lay their hands on you, pray for you, ask the Holy Spirit to come into you, for God to put something in you, and then for it just to be dormant and die. Then for it just to be like a glowing ember that never reaches a full flame in our lives. And here's Paul's encouragement, his instruction to Timothy. Come on, Timothy, don't neglect this. God did something. I laid hands on you. Something was imparted. You now need to fan that thing into flame. And friends, if there's a word that I want you to take away, if you're kind of slightly dozing, then wake up. This is the kind of the takeaway message. Fan it into flame. Fan it into flame. You see the dynamic. God's put something in us, but it's up to us to ensure that what he puts in us, that gifting, that call, that superpower, that we fan it into flame. Paul says to Timothy, the spirit that God put inside of you isn't some spirit of timidity. It's not a spirit of fear. You don't need to back off. But it's a spirit of power. Power. That's where the superpower idea comes from. It's a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. So friends, it's up to us to figure out what it is and to figure out how we fan it into flame. That's our job. God's job is to put something inside of us. God's job is to fill us with his spirit. God's job is to call us. God's job is to equip us. It's our job to fan it into flame. Now you may be saying, oh, well, Jonathan, I'm not sure that God has given me any kind of gift at all. Well, just turn with me to Psalm 139. There's just a few thoughts I want to share with you from that before we jump back in to 1 Corinthians 12. And in Psalm 139, David wrote down these words in verse 13. For you knit my inmost, sorry, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. David got it. David understood that God was doing something, God was creating something, God was making something. This was a gift to me. And it wasn't just taken off the shelf and given to me, but it was actually made for me. There's not very many things that are made for me. Our children often make things for us, don't they, if we have children? But this was made for me. And it was made by a potter. You can tell it was made by a potter, because it's a decent piece of pottery. His name is Derek Waller, and he's from Bromley. And he's a member at Bromley Baptist Church. One day, Derek had been invited to come and to do a workshop at church with some older people about pottery, and his car broke down. So I came with my car and with my trailer, and we got his potter's wheel. His mobile one was broken, so we had to get his other one that's less mobile, put it in our trailer, get it to church, unload it at church, and then do the same later on. And he was very, very grateful because he would never have been able to do it by himself. And so a few weeks later, he arrived at church and he said, "Jonathan, I made this for you as a thank you." Isn't that incredible? Now you see, he didn't just happen by itself. He didn't reach into the bag, get some clay, and bring me the clay. He had some intention to it. He had some thought to it. I'd looked at his pottery and I'd seen some motifs that regularly appear: doves and trees and wheels. And so we talked about the meaning of those things. So he created for me something that has doves on it, and has trees on it, and has wheels on it. You see, God, when God designs, has this idea about what he's creating, has this idea about what he's going to do with it. And God has these incredible motifs. They're about his character, and his grace, and his power, and his love, and his self-discipline. And when God made you, when God formed you in your mother's womb, he didn't just reach into a bag and grab a bunch of spare parts. He started to craft and started to mold and started to shape, marked it with some motifs that appear on everything that he's created. They have value, they have worth, they have purpose. I mean, that is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful piece of pottery. And when God created you and made you, it wasn't an accident, and it wasn't without purpose. Now, Paul, when he writes his letter to the church in Corinth, his first letter, you'll see in chapter 12 that Paul says he doesn't want us to be ignorant about the gifts of God's Spirit. He doesn't want us to be ignorant about the way that God works. He writes these words. "Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced, led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one is speaking by the Spirit of God, says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." Get this. "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it's the same God at work." First thing I want you to see is, did you see the whole Trinity involved in there? Did you see it? Different kinds of gifts, the same Spirit. Different kinds of service, the same Lord. Different kinds of working, the same Father, God, at work in them all. Spirits, service, working. And Paul goes on to say, "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." Now to each one. So Paul is saying, to every person who's following Jesus, to each one is given the manifestation of God's Spirit, the outworking of God's Spirit, to each one. So if you're a believer here today, hands up if you are not an each one. Well done, you got it. Just to double check, hands up if you are in each one. Oh, we're worrying. You should all, we're all each one, all of us. That's all of us. The manifestation of Spirit is given to all of us when we become followers of Jesus for the common good. We're all given a superpower. We're all given a part to play, a role to play, a function. Now, here's the thing. We can all kind of look at these incredible gifts, and Paul is about to go and list 12 of them, and he'll give us an insight into what 9 of these gifts are. There's others that he mentions elsewhere. He's not intending to give us an exhaustive list, because in other places, he talks about other gifts. But the point is this. God gives us gifts in order that the whole church can be built up, in order that the common good can be blessed. That's what they're for, but he does give them to each of us. And Paul's going to go on to say a bit later in the chapter, and I encourage you to read it later, he says we're like a body, and we can't say to any part of the body, "Well, I'm more valuable than you," or "I'm more important than you." Like, if I shot myself in the little toe, I'd really know, even though it's only a little toe. I broke my little toe a few years ago. I really knew about it. I kicked a doorframe as I was walking through, and it swelled up, and it went a really interesting colour, and it was really painful. And it's like a tiny toe. It's that big. But my whole body was in pain and agony because of this stupid toe. If you're a little toe, I'm not saying you're stupid. I'm saying you are valuable, and you exert a presence far beyond your size. That's what I'm saying. God puts amazing things in little bundles. God distributes these sense of gifts, this sense of call, this purpose. It's for all of us. We are all created by God. We are all given infinite worth and value. God has distributed right the way through this church and his church in the world a variety of gifts and skills and a sense of calling in order that what God's plans and purposes are for us can be achieved. But it takes all of us. It takes all of us. It takes every single one of us saying, I haven't figured out my part yet, but I'm going to figure out my part and play it in order that everything is God that God has destined for us to be and do can be done. We need you to steward the gift that God has given you. And the we is all the rest of us. Take a look at the person sitting next to you, either side, the person in front, the person behind. Have a look around. Have a look around at them, because you're all looking at me at the moment. Have a look at them. We, all of us here, need you to steward your gift. We need you to fan into flame that gift that God has given you. We need you to be saying to God, God, give me opportunities to use this thing you've given me. We need you to be saying, well, I think it might be like a gift of service. But in my own heart, I sometimes feel a bit, I don't know, like a bit jealous of other people's gifts when God's just called me to serve. Find some books on service. Pray about it. Well, I feel like God's given me this gift of a prophetic gifting, and I kind of feel like there's things I want to say. Great. Then talk to somebody with a prophetic gifting. Pray with them. Say, can you help me to hone this thing and make it work? God's given me a gift of administration. How do we know? Well, I like to get everything organized. Are you sure you're not just a bully? But if it's really a spiritual gift of administration, then let's exercise that. Where in the life of the church could you devote that gift so that it all works smoothly? So that you get that same buzz I get when I see people responding to God's word, because you see that thing ran really smoothly. All those things are coming together. You need to fan into flame that gift. Friends, I want to just share with you really, really briefly, and I'll maybe... Do you want to just put the next slide up, the one with shape on it? Is that okay? This comes from a book I want to recommend to you. If you haven't come across this before, it's from Saddleback. It's by Eric Ries. It's called Discovering Your Shape, or Shape, Finding and Fulfilling Your Unique Purpose in Life. I'll leave the book on there. You can have a look later. If probably in the new year, we might do a series on this, elders, and just kind of do something somewhere. We'll find a way of doing this, discovering our shape. But if you want to start to do some real thinking, you want to take this seriously and steward what God has put inside you, then the first thing you need to do is figure out what are the things, and it's likely to be far more than one, but what are the things that God has put inside you? And here's a little tool that you could use. You can begin with thinking about spiritual gifts, looking at the spiritual gifts in Scripture, and you can kind of read about those and say, well, does that kind of feel like me? Does that sound like me? Do those spiritual gifts look like me? Is that what God has done? Use that as a tool. The second one would be heart. What is it that kind of moves you? If you want to think about a sense of call, what are the things that when you hear them mentioned, your heart leaps, your ears just suddenly tune in? Like if Tim was in a coffee shop and somebody said Kazakhstan, his ears are going to go, ooh, 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 ooh. He could be in the middle of a conversation, but if somebody said that word somewhere else in the coffee shop, he'd just stop and go, ooh. What is it that makes our heart leap? What's going on inside our heart? What is it that moves us? What are the things that make us cry? Other than being an Ireland rugby fan. What are the things that really move us? Where's our emotions engaged? We can think about that. What are the abilities? What are those things that I can do? The skills that I've been honing? The things that I kind of felt like I should be getting on and doing that, and so I made myself better at it. What are my abilities? What are the things that you can do? You see, when you start to put this stuff together, you start to come up with a unique shape of who you are. What's my personality like? I mean, God can go around our personality, but often when we take a look at our personality, we see something. Now, I know some introverted and quiet preachers. I do. But if you're really introverted and quiet, preaching can be really hard because it takes a lot out of you and it's draining. I'm not saying if you're quiet and introverted, don't preach. What I am saying is if you're a loudmouth and it doesn't bother you standing up in front of people, listen to that. Listen to that. Maybe there's a sense of God's calling in that. And then finally, what's the experience that you've had? What are the things that have shaped you to be who you are, for the better or the worse? The things that you've survived and the things that you've made you thrive. What are your life experiences? And when we pay attention to all of that, we begin to see, this is what God's doing in my life. I can see that. And so now when we turn to what Paul says to Timothy, fan that into a flame, we can do it, can't we? We can do it because we've identified it. We've figured it out. We can look at it. We can analyze it. We can say, well, who else is doing this? Who's written about this? What is it that I'm praying for? Where are the opportunities for me to put that into practice? Do you see? We are called to each of us steward the giftings that God has put inside of us. So we need to identify them. We need to hone them. And then we need to use them. And we need to do it together. We need to do it together. I refrained last week from calling out, you know, you need to tithe your time. Give 16.8 hours to God. I'm not going to do that with you. I'm not. And I kind of want to refrain a bit from doing that through this series. Because this series is not a call to do more. The series is a call to steward well. But I want to share with you a conversation that we had this week. And the we were people who gathered together to review our holiday club this week. And as we reviewed it and we spent time talking together, the thought began to emerge among us. Could we do this ourselves? Is there a way we can do this that we take care of it, that it begins to reflect our fire values, that it reflects who we are as a community of people, and that it fits in with a range of events and activities that will see us build one on the other to see us have a big impact amongst families who are in our neighborhood? Could we possibly do that? And the number one thing that kind of came through in that is, yes, we could, but. And the but was, we need people and the skills and the giftings in this church to do it. Unless the Spirit moves me, I'm really going to refrain from laying down a challenge to you. But the Spirit moved me this week. Next year, our holiday club will be in that first full week of the school holiday. Will you book a week's annual leave and come and use your gift with us here? Will you? We've given you 10 months to hone your gift. 10 months so that you can prophesy into the lives of children. 10 months so you can make the best squash that has ever been made. 10 months so that you can love and love and love. 10 months so you can lead worship. 10 months. 10 months so that you can prepare yourself to be part of what will next year be our biggest mission, where we have 60 kids come into this building, loads of whom don't know the name Jesus, and we get to impact a whole family. You see, we've got to ground this stuff. The rubber has to hit the road. There comes a time when we say, we've got to just stop talking and listening to messages. We've got to make it happen. So there's the challenge that comes from the Spirit, not just me. I'm asking you to pray about it right now. I'm kind of daring you to book the time off already in your diary and plan to be here, because I think we can do it when we find our shape and when we work together. But can each of us today commit to just this, saying, God, I will fan the gifting in me into flame. I will fan that gift in me into flame. I will identify what those gifts and that call upon my life is, God. Where it is you're calling me to live and serve and what it is you're calling me to do. I'll figure it out. And then I'll hone it. I'll find out more about it. I'll find somebody who's doing it. I'll make it better. And thirdly, I'll use it. I'll get on and I'll actually do it. Maybe, just maybe this morning, you're here and you're saying, Jonathan, nobody has ever laid hands on me to receive the Spirit. Like, you're talking about that's what happens to everybody, but it never happened to me. Then I'm sorry. I'm doubly sorry if I led you to faith, but I don't think there's many here that I have, so I'm not criticizing anybody. But at the time you were led to faith, somebody should have laid hands on you and prayed for you. Somebody should have asked the Holy Spirit to come in you and to empower you and to live in you and through you and for God to put his gifting in you from the very beginning. I was super privileged that happened for me, and I was straight away into a church that took that seriously and nurtured the gifting that God had put in me. I feel very blessed. But I want to play catch up with you if that didn't happen. So as we get the musicians and singers to come back and sing, lead us again, just for a few minutes, I want to invite you this morning, if at the time you became a follower of Jesus, and even since that time, nobody's ever laid hands on you to receive the Holy Spirit, for God's gifting to be put inside you, for you to start kind of glowing with his presence and to figure out what it is. You've never had that experience. I want to pray for you this morning. It's not going to be like a long counseling session. I'm just going to lay my hands on you and pray for you and ask God to fill you with his Spirit and to put a sense of call in your life. It may be that you're here today and you've yet to become a follower of Jesus. And you're saying, well, this is fascinating, but I haven't got a clue what I'm called to do because I'm not even a follower of Jesus yet. I've never prayed that kind of a prayer. Then I want to pray for you too. So what I'm going to do in just a minute as we start to sing lead worship and these guys will close out the service, I'm going to make my way down here and I just want to pray for you. That's it. I'm going to pray for you to receive the Holy Spirit and for God's call to become clear in your life. And if today you need to say, Jesus, I'm coming for the first time and I'm going to become your follower, I'm dedicating my life to you, then I want to pray for you as well. Is that really clear? Well, just before we do that, I want to pray for us all. Father, watch over us, I pray. Speak to us, I pray. Lord, we want to steward everything that you have given to us in order that everything you dream we together can be in our homes, in our church, in our workplaces, among our friends, our relatives, our associates, our neighbors, that your dream would become our reality in Jesus' name. Amen.